A Japanese special envoy arrived in Jordan today to seek the release of a 24-year-old Japanese hostage held by militants in Iraq. Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi has said he will not withdraw troops from Iraq, as the militants have demanded. Koizumi spent considerable political capital in sending troops to Iraq in the first place. Political observers see the deployment as part of an effort to raise Japan's profile worldwide. And within Japan, there is a shifting sense of identity. Many are reevaluating what it means to be Japanese, 60 years after World War II. NPR's Rob Gifford reports on Japan's evolving idea of its role in the world.
Thousands of soldiers are going through their paces as part of a drill at a military base in Tokyo. A tank gathers speed across a parade ground as part of the military exercise. Except you can't call it a tank, it's a specialty vehicle. And you can't say these marching soldiers are members of a Japanese army. In fact, they're part of the Japanese self-defense forces. Under Article 9 of the Japanese post-war constitution, written by the United States, Japan is not supposed to have armed forces, part of the military castration of the country meant to prevent Japan from ever being an aggressor again.
Yeah!
Japan gets round the ban with U.S. consent by saying these soldiers are for self-defense only, even though the Japanese military is among the biggest and best equipped in Asia. Keeping Japanese troops close to home has been an article of faith here for 60 years. And for 60 years, Japan has punched well below its weight, diplomatically and militarily. But now, many, especially younger Japanese, are starting to look for a bigger role in the world, commensurate with their country's economic status. Ichita Yamamoto is one of a new generation of lawmakers in the ruling Liberal Democratic Party. He says one of the main reasons for the change comes from outside.
Most of the people has lacked the perception of national security in the past. But particularly after North Korea issue came up, more and more people started to be very much aware that we really need to have a strong defense so that we can defend our country.
North Korea is a real threat. It has already tested one ballistic missile over Japan. Another longer-term concern is China, booming economically and beefing up its military. Many here say Tokyo can't rely on Washington forever, and some believe the deployment of troops to Iraq is a move to pave the way for an eventual change to the Japanese constitution. The debate about Japan's international role has been magnified by the emergence of a new nationalism at home, especially among young people. Fans watching the national soccer team in action sing the Kimigayo. It was the anthem of the country during World War II and, amazingly, still is. The irony of that fact seems lost on most of the young fans, waving rising sun flags and shouting, "Japan, Japan." 25-year-old Masaki Jinguji is wearing a T-shirt with a militaristic poem from the 1930s written on it. It's about the Japanese spirit, he says. We're patriots. He says he knows nothing about the wartime implications of the poem. He just knows he wants Japan to be strong. A man next to him wears a T-shirt wearing the word kamikaze in English. Many Japanese seem to separate what they see as the brave Japanese spirit from the actions that spirit led to in the 1930s and 40s. That separation is easier to maintain because school textbooks here do not deal directly with Japanese aggression in World War II. Schools have become a battleground in the debate about rising nationalism. In Tokyo now, students and teachers are required to stand for the national flag and anthem. Some have refused. The moves are part of a push for more Japanese patriotism in schools by politicians such as Governor of Tokyo Shintaro Ishihara. Ishihara has angered Japan's neighbors with his right-wing views. He even denies that the Nanjing massacre of several hundred thousand Chinese by Japanese troops in 1937 ever took place.
Nanjing is fake.
The Nanjing massacre is fake. It never happened. It was invented. In fact, it's the Chinese people who are the cruelest in history. They killed 30 million of their own people in the Cultural Revolution. Anyway, we don't care about China.
Though most analysts say it's unlikely that politicians from the far right, such as Ishihara, would gain the upper hand in national politics, this kind of rhetoric worries China, Korea, and other Asian nations, who feel Japan has never properly apologized for World War II. They're also troubled by visits of Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi to the Yasukuni Shrine in central Tokyo, where several executed war criminals from the 1940s are honored among the dead. A film at the Yasukuni Museum is playing to a group of Japanese tourists. It says that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor in self-defense and actually praises the kamikaze pilots who flew their planes into American ships. Many ordinary Japanese do visit Yasukuni, but for all the nationalists, there are as many, if not more, Japanese people who believe there's no reason to change the constitution, and that re-emergent Japanese militarism is a danger. They too, like so many here, seem to be grappling with the issue of what kind of country Japan should be in the 21st century. Jesper Kohl is chief economist of Merrill Lynch in Tokyo and has lived in Japan for 19 years.
The national identity in Japan is very, very vague. I often say Japan is the only country that doesn't have a dream. I mean, in America, you've got this American dream. In China, you've got this big dream of wanting to become, you know, one of the rich countries on earth. You know, I mean, there can only be an identity crisis if you think that identity is important. If you're brought up with the idea that identity is not important, if that's your main cultural trait, what are you then?
And that is a question that many here, especially the young, are now asking, as they try to discover a patriotism without militarism and a balanced engagement with a dangerous world. One answer comes up more often than most. We want to be a normal country, many people say. Our history of the last 100 years has left us an abnormal legacy, and now we just want to be normal again. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Tokyo.